If you know you will receive the word of God today, give me an amen.
Amen.
If you will walk by the word that you are going to receive today, give me an amen.
Amen.
If you are being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, give me an amen.
Amen.
If as a result of that, you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, and you will bear fruit in every good work and always increase in the knowledge of God. If you believe this, sincere, another amen.
Amen.
All right, declare it. Say, I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will.
In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
I am walking in a manner worthy of the Lord.
I am pleasing him in all respects.
I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Psalm 16, let's start from the book of Psalm, chapter 16. Again, what I intend to do is to continue from where we stopped last time, talking about the increase of God's kingdom, what is our part in it. We have been looking at that. I'll rush through it. Because we read it last time, I will not spend, I won't read everything. I'll just highlight some things. From verse 1, it says, preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good besides you. As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who have battered for another God will be multiplied. I shall not pour out their drink offerings of blood, nor will I take their names upon my lips. Emphasis, verse 5. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. It says, you support my lot. And in verse 6, it says, the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. Let me just save time. In verse 8, it says, I have set the Lord carefully before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. That's the end of verse 9. And I want to stop the reading there. Now, this was the text we ended with last time. And I want to pick up from there again today. But remember what we are talking about, the increase of God's kingdom. And I've been explaining the fact that we are crucial in that increase. That God doesn't just do things because he wants to do them. When he wants to do something, he has to raise an army. That army that is raised, the people are the ones that the Lord walks through. And we read from Revelation chapter 17. He said, who are the people that are with him? Now listen to this. He said, they are the called, the chosen, and what? The faithful. That is, there are three levels that the Lord takes us through in life to qualify us to walk with him in his army. Now, I've been saying for some time that what God is doing, what God wants to do, works out of us easily. Now, listen to me. When I say easily, now, it doesn't mean there's no effort. Paul said that whatever you see in my life is a result of the grace of God that was working through me, that I labored. If you look at my life, it will appear as if I did more than Peter, James, John, and all the other people. In fact, sometimes put together, it appears like. He said, but it was not I. It was the grace of God working with me. Let me give my own personal testimony, all right, as a preacher, as a teacher of the Word of God, which is what you are participating in this evening. Many times I hear people, you know, I hear all kinds of testimonies. People write me notes. Sometimes some people insist I have to handwrite this. Some type, some send by email. Sometimes I meet people in odd places, and they tell me what the word that they have heard me teach has done in their lives. In fact, one pastor, the last 2 days, he's been sending me messages. He's just been so excited with the message I preached 2007. That was 8 years ago, right? And we was on radio. And he's been so excited. The thing has changed, according to him, it has changed his life. It has confirmed things for him over the last few days. And that message was preached 8 years ago. What was exciting him about it, I don't know. But the point is that the Spirit is riding on those words and doing what he wants to do in the lives of people. So somebody will now come and say, ah, Pastor Banky changed my life. You know Pastor Banky did not change his life. He doesn't have the power to change the life of anybody. Do you follow my point? I don't have it. However, the Spirit of God used the words that he spoke through me, and he wrote upon those words into the heart and the life of somebody. It was not I, Paul was saying, it was this grace of God working with me. That is what is called grace, all right? That is what is called grace. There's our book, Choices, Key to Destiny, which many of us have seen. We had like 3,000 out in print. They are all totally exhausted. First time we did it, 2,000. After a while, we did another 1,000. They are all exhausted, okay? Now, some brethren gathered together the other day and said they want to print 5,000 copies. We give them the right to print 5,000 copies and share out free of charge. After a while, one of them called me and said, we are making it 10,000. Now, because they got some money and they saw, they said, no, this thing, we can do 10,000. Now, 10,000 books will go out at a time, going to different young people here and there, being handed to them free of charge. I'm not the one paying. Kingdom World Ministry is not paying. You understand my point? Some brethren just gathered together and said, let us do this. Paul said, it is not I. It is the grace of God working with me. So assuming that thing changes 10,000 lives, all right? Somebody will ask, because my name is on the book, because I am the author of the book, maybe one of them will see me 10 years later and say, your book changed my life. But you know that I didn't change his or her life. I wrote that book and dashed it to my wife before I married. I just wrote it. Out of when there was nothing else to do, nobody else to talk to, nobody to preach to, nobody gathering like this in the evenings to listen to me. And the anointing was inside me, burning like fire. So I burnt it on paper. You get my point? I took sheets of paper and wrote. I still remember 23 pages, handwritten. Then one day somebody was traveling to Benin. I said, when you get there, look for Sister Ofoma and give her this. And she read it. And I remember she shared it with her sister. And that one, so she was so excited by it. She said, this thing really, handwritten. Then when I married, I collected my team back. You get what I'm saying? And then typed it out, adjusted it properly, and printed it into a book. And one brother said the other day that in a particular campus, it's like their manual for training young students. It's a manual for young believers. I didn't write it like that. I just wrote it because there was fire in my bones. Are you getting my point? I just put it down because of that. So no matter what you see as a result of it, you cannot ascribe it to me at all. You can't. You can't ascribe it to me. You can only ascribe it to the Spirit of God. And that's what Paul was saying. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. That's what he was saying. That if it's like now, all of us are gathered here, we are talking about Paul. Paul did not know I will ever exist. This is like 2,000 years after Paul lived. The man did not know I will ever exist. Yet, every day we are reading Paul. Every day we are reading Paul. We are saying Paul said this, and that's it. He said two squirrels. Paul said this one. And this thing is changing, like touching people. The Spirit of God is writing on the words of Paul. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. His power working towards me did not prove in. When you look at all of these things, it appeared like I labored more than them all. But it was not I. It was the grace of God working with me. You get the point? That's what God wants to do. He's the one working in your life. Is one working in my life. What we're just saying, that who are those he would do these things through? He said, the called, the chosen, and the faithful. That is, I'm not praising myself, all right? But let's just use you. Let me use myself as faithfulness on one moment, all right? That time I wrote that book. Because I was faithful to write it, that's what I wanted to say. He was able to use it. If I didn't write it, he can't use it. And that's how it is. Now let me say something to you in life. You must be faithful in what you are doing, because with it, God is going to do something. That's the emphasis. You must be faithful. It's the faithfulness that God will use. Many are called, few are chosen. That also tells you, amongst those who are chosen, fewer are faithful. Fewer are faithful. We talked the other day about Demas. Paul said, Demas has departed from me. Why? He fell in love with these things of this world. For that reason, he left and went and got a better job in Thessalonica. Got bigger pay. He has more money now. He can fly all over the world. You understand what I'm saying? But the thing God wanted to use his life to do, maybe that was the end of it. When you are making decisions in life, this is where we ended last time. I'm picking up from it. Let me just quickly get into it so I don't re-preach the things I preached before. One question you must always ask yourself is this. What am I living for? That was what we ended with last time. One of the things you see people do all the time, very annoying. They want to make decisions. It's always about the power is constant. Money is more. And when you hear it, you know these people or whoever it is not living like there is eternity. He's not living like he has to give account. He's not living like this life is supposed to count for something. That's what I'm talking about. Faithful. He said these are the people that he uses. The called, the chosen, and the faithful. Let me tell you the meaning of the word faithfulness for a moment. Faithfulness means that I go through tests. Faithfulness means that I go through trials. Faithfulness means I go through afflictions. I go through difficult times. A man is not considered faithful except he goes through challenges in life. You cannot look at somebody and say, this fellow is faithful. Except somebody, something has come up to compel him or her to do otherwise. It is when the fellow has been compelled, you know, that is putting pressure, that's better, pressuring him to do otherwise, contrary to what he or she knows to be true, then you now say this fellow is faithful if he refuses to agree. You get the point? When she refuses to accept to walk contrary to the revealed knowledge of God, you say that fellow is faithful. And I'm saying to you, those are the people that the Lord will use to cause change on the earth. It is through people like that that he advances his kingdom. That's what we are talking about here. Don't ever forget this. You are here on purpose. When I began this ministry and began to teach on a regular basis, the first set of messages we taught was titled Man on Assignment. Since then, I've come up with that same teaching again and again. One of them is A Life of Purpose. All right? On radio, we also have the series we put out there then, Life According to Divine Purpose, because we have to keep talking about this thing again and again and again and again. This is the thing that must mark out Christians when we're talking about faithfulness. It is that you realize that my life has a purpose, and when I'm making decisions in life, I must make those decisions knowing that it must advance, or the result of my decisions must advance the knowledge I have concerning God's purpose in my life. If I don't have any specific knowledge, what I just do is to walk according to the general revealed knowledge. Last time I explained how we walk in God's will as believers. I need to just quickly drop something about it again. When we're walking in God's will as believers, it does not mean we have a conscious knowledge of the will of God. It doesn't mean that. What I mean is this. God's will has two aspects. There is the general will. There is the specific will. What is the specific will? There are thousands of Christian young women who are single. And assuming I'm a single man. One of them is the specific will if I'm supposed to marry. One, not two. Now, out of 1,000, how do you know which one? That is what we call specific will. It is not haphazard that any woman is just your own. No. Husband like that, the same thing. That is the same principle. Even when it comes to a job, which job do I take? Which career do I pursue? There are many cities and towns and villages, of course, or you can even create another one, all right, in which you can live in today's Nigeria and anywhere in the world. Which one is the specific one you are supposed to live in is what we call the specific will of God. Which one does God want you to live in? That is a question people who have some understanding of divine purpose ask. And my answer to them is this. This is just a rough estimate. 9 times out of 10, you do not need to specifically know it by that is ahead of time. That's what we call the specific will of God. People say, now you will pray until God reveals it to you. Let me just tell you, all right? I know I'm not a usual preacher in that area. Don't worry about it. If he wants to reveal it, let me put it like this, it is his business. He doesn't always reveal it. You can't pray to make him reveal it. Like I explained extensively last time, even if he wanted to, he knows what you can hear. Right now, God cannot tell an average Southern Christian to go to Meduguri right now. He said, but why did you say God can't? I know. The reason is because even though he can utter the word, he knows most people can't hear it. And once you can't hear, it will be judgment on your part if he utters it. So Jesus said, there are things I want to tell you, but you can't bear them now. So relax. Later, we'll get that one sorted out. I want you to understand that principle. All right? So that's why it's not like, say, God, speak. No, listen. He knows what you can hear. What is it we are supposed to do? We are supposed to prepare our hearts through training, through instruction, true repentance, true correction, you know, instructions in righteousness, like Paul wrote to Timothy, all right, using all of those things, we get to a place where the will of God can work itself out in our lives. One day you will get to where you're supposed to get to. Then you look back and say, this is where indeed the Lord has led me. So when we're talking about the will of God, therefore, what are we doing? We are preparing our hearts so that God can work his will out of us. That's the point I'm trying to emphasize. And please let me just take a minute or two and explain this to children of God again. It is not as if God must speak and whisper to you what his will is. This is one mistake Christians make. I don't know why. I think we really need to thrash this out. That's why I'm going back there now. Christians make that mistake a lot. They hear testimonies that cause confusion. You will hear that Ken Hagin said that the Lord, maybe, I can't remember whether Ken Hagin said it, but the Lord told him to move to Tulsa. I don't know whether he said so, but I'm just imagining it. And because he's such an influential preacher in our lives, we now think that anywhere we are moving, God has to whisper. That we hear maybe a man like John Gillick, he said that one day he was praying, and the Holy Spirit said, Ralph, pop what you are doing, and by the end of the year, you are going to Africa. And we start, then when it's our turn, we start waiting for the Holy Spirit to tell us, wrap up what you are doing. By the end of next year, you are moving to maybe Lokoja. You are waiting. I know because of the testimonies that we hear from other people, we assume that the way Christians are supposed to live normally is to have these esoteric, unusual, supernatural manifestations giving them direction. Let me say it to you again. Even though God does that, it is not the normal way. It is not how he leads you on a daily basis. God only says things like that. He only utter words like that when he knows that that thing will not come to you in the natural course of living, all right, in life. For example, Paul never required the leading of the Spirit to preach in any place once it's a Gentile place. In the early parts of his ministry, he did not even require it to preach anywhere at all. He just went into any synagogue. In fact, when he gets to a city, he will find where Jews are gathered. He will start going to the synagogues to trash out the scriptures with them. Then one day they will never listen. So he left the Jews and went to the Gentiles. All right? That's how he left them, because of the stubbornness of their heart. And everywhere he will find that the gospel has not been preached, he will preach the gospel there. The Holy Spirit never has to tell him anything. He will just preach the gospel there. However, the day Macedonia was out of his way, yet that was the next place that God wanted him to go to. They slept and dreamt. And they saw a man in a dream saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Then he perceived that that must be where the Holy Spirit is leading them. So the Lord had to use a supernatural manifestation to take this man over to Macedonia. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. I need to say this thing I said last time. Let me just say it briefly for a few minutes again. Don't assume that because you heard a voice, you saw a vision, or you had a dream, that means you understand perfectly the mind of God. I said it before. It may be that God is in the process of persuading you. What you should focus on is not, did I hear, did I not hear? What you should focus on purifying your heart, getting your heart ready, making, you know, I started this by talking about faithfulness, if you remember that. I was talking about faithfulness. Making sure that you are faithful in anything that you are doing, then God can ride upon those things and take you to the center of his will for your life. The problem is that a lot of Christians, all right, they are waiting. Let me tell you another thing about when we're waiting for God. Waiting for God is not idleness. If you say, what are you doing? You say, I am waiting. What you will tell me is what you are doing while you are waiting. Waiting for God means occupy with this until I come. Those people were taught to wait for God. How did the master say to them, now you are going to wait for me, I will come back. Now what are you going to do while you are waiting? Take money, go and trade with it. He gave me 1 mina, so I'm doing business with it until it comes. What am I trying to say? In every season of your life, God gives you an opportunity to practice faithfulness. He does. In every season of your life, God gives you the opportunity to practice faithfulness, because it is through faithfulness that he will find people that he can use. He said, the people who are with him, we read in that Revelation chapter 17, are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. Every season of your life, the demand of God is demonstrate faithfulness. Many people are not faithful. You know, that's why I get angry with them that there are no jobs. What do you mean there are no jobs? You mean MTN not hiring people? I agree. You mean the banks are not hiring like before? I agree. You mean because oil, you know, the international price of oil has come down, the oil companies are even laying people off. I agree that they are not hiring like they used to. It doesn't mean there are no jobs. It doesn't mean so. What is a job? It's the opportunity that God gives you to demonstrate faithfulness. That's what I'm going to explain. That's what it is. There is something that God says, demonstrate faithfulness in this. What am I going to say? It is as you demonstrate faithfulness that he's able to advance his kingdom through your hands. Remember, there are two points in this. Let me just quickly read it again. Well, it's something we know very well. No point reading it. The book of Matthew chapter 5. When the Lord was speaking, he said, you are the salt of the earth. And he says, you are the light of the world. We have established that if God's kingdom is going to advance, it's going to be through our hands. The people who have shown themselves to be faithful, faithful to the word of God, faithful to truth. Let me just really say something about faithfulness again. I'm not going to go into the issue of light now. We're talking about salt. Salt, Jesus said, if you must maintain your saltiness, your savour, you must maintain your integrity as salt. That way, you will passively do the things that you are supposed to do. That is, without saying a word, your presence is affecting the environment. I always say something about the word faithfulness. We're talking about the called, the chosen, and the faithful. I was in this man's book, and he said that when the word faithful, faith, of course, you know the scriptures, the word faith, the fruit of the Spirit is faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That word pistis in Greek, he says, is used in three different ways. One of them, he says, describes what you and I will call faithfulness. That is, being dependable. He says, in the context of it, that's why you read some Bibles, that Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, they will tell you the fruit of the Spirit is faith. That is love, joy, you know, and all of that. Faith. But some other Bibles will tell you it is faithfulness. He says, in the context, you'll be able to tell what he's talking about. All right? Then he says, sometimes it is used for faith in itself. That is the principle of believing. I won't go into details about explaining it now. He said, also, it is used for the object of faith. What does he mean by that? He was trying to prove that sometimes when the Bible uses the word faith, it was actually referring to what the faith is upon. For example, he picked Hebrews chapter 11, when he says that faith is a substance of things hoped for. He said that, listen, that faith there was referring to the object of faith. That is, this was what he was saying, that the assurance of things hoped for is the promise and the word of God. I don't know whether you get that point. That is, that faith is based upon the word. I'm going somewhere. What was it? They called the chosen and the faithful. The question is, faithful to what? I don't know what I get what I'm saying. That word faithful, it has to do with faithfulness to something. And that's what I'm going to explain to people. Let me tell you something about life. If you listen to some of my messages I preached before, when I talked about this, cooperating with the seasons of life's adventures, in it I explained that everything in life has phases. Let me see what I can remember. And I preached it some time ago. What's the first phase? This phase of sitting down and counting. And I said, at the end of that first phase of sitting down and counting, you come out with one thing, which is what? Wisdom for salvation. Thank you. You remember. That now takes me to the next phase, which is what? The trial of your faith. And then I now talked about the stage of rest and the stage of fruitfulness and then multiplication. Yes, those are the phases we described. Now, please listen to that again. The first phase is the phase of sitting down and counting. What does that mean? It is a season in which you settle down and say, upon what principle am I going to operate this endeavor that I'm going to operate? Upon what principle am I going to perform the things I want to perform in life? For example, I recommend to people all the time, you are going to get married, please. There's one book I can recommend, a number of them, but the one I wrote, Should I Say Yes? Please read it. I went for a wedding today. I gave it to the bride and groom, and I wrote on it. Please read this. It will help you a lot. That is, you are establishing the principle upon which you are going to operate. You are going into politics. Now, listen to this. I must say this one quickly. You are going to be a politician. Please, don't just say, God has called me into politics. God may have called you. But first of all, settle down. So what is the Christian method of operating politics? You are going to start business. Say, what is the purpose? What are the things that are Christian in operating business? I always like to drop it as a businessman, and that applies to everybody. These are the things you are going out there to create. It's not money. You are going to create wealth, but wealth and money, they are different. All right? Wealth has to do with value that you have produced for everybody, not for yourself. But that's not the first thing I want to mention. You are going to create a good name, which is giving glory to God. That name will give him glory. So that I say the God of this man is the true God. You are going to promote righteousness. I keep on using Henry Ford as an example there. That Henry Ford said the success of the Ford Motor Company is not about the machines that bear the name Ford. It is about the success of a business principle, business idea. It is my way of saying the way by which you have been doing business was wrong and mine is right. That is, I said, these principles are good. They are right. Since you wouldn't believe me, I needed to do business to prove to you that the principles are good and right. So when Ford Motor Company succeeded exceedingly, he said, now you have all seen that there is a better way to do what we are all trying to do. Until many of us may not know, we are operating those things today. When you get a warranty on your car or your phone and things like that, those were the men that started it. Nobody gave warranties on cars until Ford Motor Company came on board. Most people want you to buy another one. You've seen it. The chain model to this year is iPhone 6. Next year it will be iPhone 7. The following year is iPhone 8. They have to change it every year so that you buy another one. Henry Ford never did that. Henry Ford said, if you buy one, why should you buy another one? That was his principle. He said, if you need another one, my product is bad. So he gave a warranty that if it spoils, it is my responsibility. It bears my name, not your name. So he planted service stations all over the country. Trained men that I offer warranty to anybody. If your car spoils in this period, it is my responsibility, not yours. Mary Kay Ash did the same thing. She wrote a book and said, this is how to do business. So why will anybody listen to me? She said, let me go and do business so that they will know that this is right. She was not a cosmetics woman. She just found cosmetics as a method by which she could express the principles that she knew to be true. It got to a point, she became a subject of study in Harvard Business School. That is what I call promoting righteousness. Righteousness means the right way of doing things. That's one reason we do business. Are you getting my point? We promote the righteousness of God in society. We improve our own personal righteousness. As you are moving with people, there are things inside you that begin to manifest. If you live in a home where everybody is quiet and they are considerate, you will know how angry you can be. They don't take your slippers when you leave it there. They don't cheat you. So you think you're a very cool person. Like God said, you will soon kill somebody. So he says, okay, let me release you into the center of activities. You interact with the good, the bad, and the ugly. Are you getting my point? Then that helps your own personal righteousness, your holiness unto the Lord to develop. Now, let me not forget what I was trying to say. So these are the principles. I just like to drop that. That's how we do business. So before you start, you say, what are the things I'm trying to do here? Those things are the things we call the wisdom for your salvation. Then are you serious or you are not? That will now be proved as you go out to do the things. Life will try to show you that what you are trying to do is wrong. I know how they are going to show it to you. By showing that you won't make money. Usually if it's something like business. You say, no, I have learned that the two shall become one. I'm merging myself totally with the wife that I have married. They now come with stories. This was how Andrew Stevens married that time. And he was telling us that we found out later that the woman was using his money to buy jewelry and hiding under the pillowcase. I tell you all kinds of stupid stories. Those stories actually exist. But they are not the foundation for your faith. Are you getting my point?
Yeah.
This is how it works. Does that tell me, I'll give an example. When I first started out in ministry, I used to make it clear to everybody that our books did not really have, if you see copyright on it, it's just formality. That I had no problem with anybody printing the books. That the only thing I have a problem with is if you alter the content. That one, you know what John said, if anybody alters something inside this book, God will, you know that. I said, but you see, as for the content, I have no problem. I think by that time we had a website. That my wife talking with some of her friends. And one fellow there said that one day your husband will find out that somebody in one place has printed the books and is selling. That's when he will know that what he's doing is not wise. My wife said, but that is the idea. I said to her, if I find that happening, I will write the fellow a note and say, may God bless you and increase you. You have carried these books to where we can't go. I am not an author. I'm not a, you know what I mean by author? Is like, what I mean is, this is what I do to survive. No. I am propagating the word of God. I've just written a book, it's in the press right now, titled Beyond Gifts and Talents. I broke it into three parts and sent them out to our mailing group one by one. There's no difference between what's in the mailing group and what's inside the main book. The book, should I say yes, when I was writing it, if you're on my mailing list that time, I sent it out to you. Everybody was on my mailing list, read 90% of that book before it came out. Now, that was decided before I began to preach. That is, organized Kingdom World Ministries. This is where decided before the ministry work commenced. Why? Because the goal of everything is to do our own little part in filling the earth with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the seas. That's the whole idea. Let's do what we can. And God has given us technology. Every technology you find on this earth was created for the advancement of God's kingdom. Whether it's Facebook, all right, Twitter, the internet as a whole. Now, people use it for all kinds of things. In fact, one day I read a man analyze how the Romans created the paved roads and that was the roads that the gospel rode upon. So that men could travel great distances in one day carrying the gospel. I forgot the man who analyzed it. I was watching it on TV, TBN. The man explained, just gave a brief history of the world and showed how the Romans conquered from here to here, then laid a main road, paved throughout their kingdom. And that was how the gospel rode across Asia. I said, my God. In the same manner, this internet is out there. My conviction is primarily to promote the kingdom of God. If you're a preacher, please use it. You hear what I said? Use it. The one we do, of course, we have a website that is quite active. I have a mailing group that I send out mails. It's supposed to be weekly, but sometimes it takes longer than that, all right? And then, you know, Twitter, you know, I drop things on Twitter. All these things I've talked about, there are bad things there also. Some people now say, no, the internet is of the devil. Like they said, the television was devil's box. Whether it's devil's box or it's not devil's box, I converted it to gospel box. You hear what I said? Yes. Multitudes listen to and watch my preaching twice a week. And we get responses from them. I know lives have been touched. We converted it to gospel box. Now, what I'm going to say, the aim, what we have in mind is fill the earth with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the seas. That's the point. Now, I'm talking about the principles. So before you set out in things, so these are the issues. So people come and start coming to you and say, no, this thing you are saying, usually it's a matter of you won't make money. Remember I said all of this by trying to explain what I call faithfulness. Remember that. And I said, faithful to what? Faithful to what? There's faithfulness to God, but faithfulness to God has a practical meaning. Faithfulness to God has a practical meaning. there must be something that he said you are faithful to. After the season of sin and accounting, you come forth with wisdom for your salvation. And that's what I'm talking about. So as you now go in life, pressure will start coming to you to say, no, don't do it this way. If you're a preacher in the house, listen to this again. In this day and age, the gospel has a bad name. It's not a joke. Seed sowing. They call it Jesus PLC. There's good money in the God racket. These are statements people have made about the gospel. So when you are going into it, now let me just say something. Don't use the worldly way of proving that it's not about money. There is a scriptural way of proving it's not about money, right? But you don't need to prove it to anybody. You just need to ensure that for you, it's not about money. And most importantly, don't, to, like I keep on saying, if you are, there are different ways to disobey God, all right? Some of them will kill you, some of them will flog you, some of them will pain you. Did you hear what I said? Choose the simple one where you know go die. What do I mean? If you say, I'm a preacher, God called me to ministry. God said, I should only preach. No problem. Then when you are very hungry and when you are very broke, let us assume you have to disobey God. There's an easy way to disobey him. Go and get a job that pays money. Maybe it's disobedience, so, but that one, you don't go die. Go, there's another one, it's very bad, but you still won't die. Go by the roadside and say, please, sir, I'm a man of God, I'm hungry. Can you give me something? I've not gone to motor parks. Listen, I wouldn't do that, but it won't kill. It's not really that evil. I'm telling you, just go. Say, good morning, sir. God bless you this morning. You know, I'm a man of God. Can you imagine a man of God has not eaten? Is it good for the gospel? I mean, the first time I saw people preaching in parks, first time I saw it, I remember I was in Benin that time. I was going to Lagos. My friend and I were in the park. And this man came, Edegbe Motos. He came there and prayed. And when he finished praying, he said something. And I like him for that. He said, if you love me, you want me to succeed in my ministry. You will give something to me. Listen, I wouldn't do that, but that is not bad. For those who don't mind, fine. I can come to your house and say, well, how far? I'm a man of God, I have not eaten. What is in thy house? Bring it forth and let us have communion. No, really, really. I may not do that, but really, it's not bad. It's fair. Thank you. It's fair. You can say you don't want to do. Not be, you don't say. The one you will do and you will suffer, God will literally punish you. When they get tired and kill you, is the one you take the word of God and twist it. You start promising what he did not promise. If anybody will say today, 7 is a perfect number. And then when you amplify a perfect number, it becomes more perfect. 7 times 7 is 49. So who will give 49,000 today for a perfection of miracles? You will soon die. That is the one that kills. That's why I say, if you must disobey God, choose the disobedience level. Choose those kind of ones that just cause a bit of irritation in heaven. Some angels will just push you. You fall. Then you get up again. Don't go near the world. If you want to insult somebody, insult yourself. Let them say that man is shameless. He's good. But never, never take that word of God and corrupt it. That one, please. I beg you, don't do it. You know why I went into that? I'm talking about faithfulness. When you begin that ministry with those high ideals, I'm not going to beg, I'm not going to borrow, I'm not going to beg for money, I'm not. One day, ministry will go broke. One day, ministry will go broke. I like the testimony of Pastor Kpoju Emade. Those of you who know Covenant Christian Center, there's one testimony he has, which for me is very crucial. He said the day he swore and dedicated himself and his ministry and his preaching to God in a particular area that he would never from the pulpit ask for money was when the ministry was so broke they couldn't pay rent. Their rent was due and money was not coming. So he went and prayed and confessed the word of God. Then when he finished praying, he dedicated and said, "Lord, from the pulpit, I will never ask for money. I will never raise offerings. I will, anything you want to do, you do it. I'm not going to tell anybody." I was a member of the church for a period. You just come to church and see things done. In fact, it used to annoy some of us. "Now, Pastor, if you just bother to announce these things, we will do the little we can." No. I was in the church when the major project was changing ceiling fan. Yes, I was a member of the church when changing ceiling fan was an issue. I still remember our generator that time. Baby, I was married that time. There's one generator, you know this? If you listen to some of my messages, some of the old tapes I have, you'll be hearing it in the background. He bought wireless microphone that cut his voice to pieces. There was a time like that. When he said one of those days he wanted to pay rent, there was no money. He prayed, confessed the word of God, fasted, did everything that he knew to do, and came out to that prayer session and said, "Lord, from this pulpit, no talk, because we need money. Never. I don't need to tell you, when he does Wafbeck, the money that goes down for Wafbeck comes down to almost 100 million. He will never, from that pulpit, he won't say a word. Some people think that, he's lucky, you know, he's in Lagos, things work there. Nonsense. I have my own little testimony. It may not be as big as that yet, but those of you have heard me enough, you have never heard me raise money from here. Doesn't mean I've never been broke. There was a day in this small place, our rent was due. And I was thanking God and believing God. I did not even know the rent had passed. I thought we were just getting due. I remember that day I was climbing the stairs. And I was just praying. You know, I told you there are different kinds of prayer. There's confession of worry sometimes, self. You know, that confession of worry. It's better than, you know, confession. You know, talking negatively anyway. That day, I remember I was climbing the stairs. And I stopped. And something in me, a thought drops in my mind. How will you feel if God sends you this money tomorrow? How will you feel for worrying? I said, I'll feel very, very bad. How could I have doubted that God was faithful? I said, in that case, why don't you stop worrying now so you won't have to have that bad feeling? I think the next day or 2 days later, a brother called me and said he just sent Kingdom World Ministries 1 million naira. And the rent I was running was 200,000. Do you hear what I said? It was 200,000 that I was climbing stairs. And the Holy Spirit had to arrest me. Say, wait first, let's talk on this staircase. By the time I was in that, he was already putting the money together. But again, these were things we learned long ago. I'm talking about faithfulness. Faithful to what? Faithful to the word, the principles of righteousness that the Lord helped you to know and to understand. Faithfulness is that pressure will come to make you change your mind. That's what faithfulness is. That is what faithfulness is. That pressure will come to say, no, you can't do it like that. This is how everybody's doing it. I was talking about politics. Before you enter into politics, there are things that one is even clear. There are so many things you will just say clearly. These things are evil. One, I will not participate in rigging. Don't rig for me, I won't rig for you. I'm not buying votes. I'm not getting engaged in any of these raw things, this thuggery, everything. No, none. They say, if you do like that, you will never win. Then may I never win. If that's what it takes to win, may I never win. That for God, the result is less important than the how. That's what I said the other time. Am I doing well in business? Don't ask yourself, how much money did I make today? Ask yourself, how much righteousness did I execute? That's the mark of success for a believer. You finish election, you lose. I said, but how was the election? I said, it was good. I said, but you lost. I said, yes, but wait. This man said, if we had paid him 15 million, they would have secured us the vote in this area. And we said, that's buying of votes, we are not doing. That's spiritual victory. He said, the INEC official was there with my guys. We had the returning papers. The man said it. Listen, if you guys can gather and drop 100 million, we write the result here. Nothing will happen. And he starts giving you facts and figures on people who did those things and got into public office. And you say no. I know the way we Christians think sometimes. My God will fight for me. We will still win despite that. And you are right. You're not wrong. Except that your God did not fight for you. And you did not win despite not giving the bribe. And that happens most of the time. What you don't realize, it's not as if God cannot. He can. There are many reasons. One, it's not the season. But more importantly, that's not what he's doing at that time. What he was doing at that time was to test your faith. So did I win? He said, yes, I won. How did I win? We passed that test. There was a time, some people wanted to cause, they say if we hire the thugs, they will go and scatter the place. Those people, they are very strong diarrhea. Let's just pay the thugs. They will go and cause commotion, and the whole place will scatter, and the opponents will lose in that area. You say, no, that is unjust, that is unfair. You will, the way you are doing, are you sure you're a politician? You say, I'm very sure, just not the type that you know. I like to tell this story once in a while because it's so, it blessed one brother. He got him an American visa. Of course, he just traveled and came back. First time I went to the American embassy, they say, you put money in your account so that the money will be plenty. They will not know you have money. I said, they will not know I have money. Will the money be my own? No. That's what they call telling lies. Technical lie. So I went to the embassy, had a total of less than $1,000. And when you convert it to Naira. And I was young. This was 9 years ago, thereabout. 8 years ago. So 8 years minus my age. I'm not old. Do I look old? So I was in the age where they shouldn't just easily just drop a visa for you like that. On top of that, my bank balance was bad. I've told the story here many times. Actually, the total was 100,000 Naira. Of which 70,000 Naira was a mistake. Actually, I went there to print out bank balance of 30,000 Naira to go to American Embassy for a visiting visa. I was going for a course. When the lady saw it, she looked at the statement, looked at me, and I said, what is the problem? I said, what's the problem? Any problem? She said, your bank balance. I said, what is the problem with it? Says it's too low. Eh? I said, you asked me that's a salary account. It is. I'll spend the money inside. Those are my words. I said, I earn the money through it, and I spend it. The money is gone. It's not salary. Am I supposed to be the woman was looking at me like this. She didn't have literally was looking at me. I said, I'm not going to tell lies because of you. I want to go to your country for a course. I'll be telling lies. I'm not going to lie because I'm going to be borrowing money that's not my own. As if God wanted to prove it, the guy, one of the guys in front of me, he has 7 million naira in his account. The woman said, how did you get it? The woman said, you said you're a civil servant. Rejected his visa, gave his passport, go home. When it's my turn, he said, okay, come back, collect it on Tuesday. Thank you very much. I'm going to lie because of you. Even if I walked out there and they said no, at least I won. I told the truth. One brother had heard this testimony, one of our messages. He wanted to go to America for a course, also a conference, a workshop or something. He had tried like 2 times, they denied the visa. So this time around, he went again, doing exactly what I did. Any money that was not his own, he didn't bother to look for it. Are you single? Yes, I'm single. He told them everything about his life, the way it was, to his surprise. This time around, not a jot of lies in his application. They gave him the visa. He went and he came back. Listen. That's what we may talk about faithfulness. Faithfulness to what? Faithfulness means there are certain things I have learned. Pressure must not make me change my mind. That's what I want to emphasize. Many of these preachers that are making noise because they can demonstrate the need. That's why I've heard somebody say, after all, we're using the money to do the work of God. It's pressure. Children are going to school next week. You have 3 of them. You are a man of God. You know what they call man of God? This is the only job you do. And you know, church members can be very wicked sometimes. One of my friends said that you need all the faith in you not to get angry. A man that was poor, when he started coming to your church, you prayed for him, blessed him with the word of God. He'll call you one day. Pastor, we thank God. Come and dedicate this car. He'll dedicate the car. He'll give you an offering. Open the envelope, 1,000 naira. They look the car. They look the envelope. In Jesus' name, don't worry. That's not what the problem is. The problem is that after 2 years, he comes again. He dedicates another one. And you're looking like, even if the Holy Spirit doesn't talk to you, can't you talk to yourself? Then when they say, oh, Pastor, thank you, thank God for us. You know, God has been good. We just bought land. Can you come and dedicate as we lay foundation stone? The man has never brought small money. Say, Pastor, please, part of your rent, take. The pastor will now say, okay, if that's the way you want it. Three causes of premature death. When you don't service your man of God. These are things we have heard before now. You start hearing stories. If you don't tithe, your life will be tight. It's not a scripture, but we quote it. My friend was about to say that. Sometimes you have to confess the word of God not to get angry with brethren. Brethren can be very, very, very wicked. That's why I wrote the book, So We Pay For This. Everybody, please go and read that book and take what is in it to heart. After those who I know very well, who have been studying the word of God together for a long time, you can't do that to me, I'll tell you straight. You go and buy a private jet, you say I should come and dedicate it. You know my prayer. I'm waiting for you. We'll go reach there. Father, we thank you. This is a beautiful machine that you sent wisdom for men to create. This one will never crash in Jesus' name. Everybody will say amen. I said, Lord, how can it crash when it will never fly? You're like, man of God, what? I said, you're a crazy forehead. I sit down here. You go buy private jet. You know where they sell private Land Cruiser? My friend, go and bring me a private Land Cruiser. Park it here. Then we'll dedicate this thing. If you move this thing, come over here. Wallahi. The Lord is good. You can buy a place. I go there, wait. To. I'll be pacing up and down. Just say, guys, at the go office, when the guy brings the car, call me. I seize the keys, this license, everything of your plane. I carry it home. In fact, no. One Land Cruiser and then three Toyota Camrys. Yeah, boys in the office will share. To go around everybody. Then when you finish, you now come back and bless the plane. Because if we bless it without doing that, we have disobeyed God. You've been chopping spiritual substance all these years. You now want to chop the material substance all alone. If I, you say you're a wicked soul. You know, let me preach. Some Christians, when they get to heaven, when they go say, all the pastors that adulterated the word of God, come forward. You say, good for them. Then you say, no, you follow. He said, what did I do? He said, you are the reason. With all the money I gave, what were you doing? You were flying all over the world, carry your whole children, go to Bahamas for holiday. And meanwhile, the pastor's children's fees have not been paid. Your own children are flying to Bahamas for holiday. And you now want to come to heaven and sit down like a righteous soul. And they go push you, go there. Say, hey. Those who, I said, Lord, I was not a preacher. I said, God, the Lord will say, I know. You were supposed to ensure they don't lie by making sure that they eat. All those ones who preach lies out of hunger, you are responsible. That's why I wrote the book, So We Pay For This. Back to our message. Meanwhile, anyway, no matter how people behave, as a man of God, you have no excuse. I hope you get my point. You have no excuse. Like I said, if you must disobey God, disobey him on small things. If the ministry won't bring money, go and look for something else that is legitimate. I'm not saying it's perfect, but that is lesser disobedience. Assuming it's a most of the time it's not disobedience, but let's just assume it is. If that one is not working, open your mouth, say, please, I'm a man of God, bless me. And like the one I said I'm going to do, that one is even very godly. So that's not even disobedience. That is, I will say, provoke one another unto love and to good works. That's in the Bible. That provoking you and do what is right. But of course, I know who I'll do it to. So only if I've known you for a long time. I'm not, like Paul said, I have not coveted anybody's property. What I'm just doing is telling you that you are wicked. I want to cure you of wickedness. I'm trying to help you. I can collect it before, and before your very before, like they say, I dash it to somebody else. But you have learned the lesson. Because I'm not waiting I'm not waiting on you for blessing in my life. I go to God directly and ask him for my own blessing. Do you get my point? But certain things are just right. But let's see, we're talking about faithfulness. So as a preacher, forget all of these things. You don't have a right to manipulate the word of God. You don't have that right. And before you step into ministry, these are the pressures. That's what I'm talking about. Make up your mind ahead of time that no matter the pressure, I will follow Paul like he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that I will renounce the hidden things of dishonesty, handling the word of God deceitfully, handling the word of God craftfully. I renounce them entirely. I like one thing Kenegan said he used to do. Any day he wants to teach on money in the church, he takes the offering first. You know, normally, he wants to preach on money. Most of us preachers these days, we've hired somebody who will come, whip up the sentiments. I was in Kotangora, one woman did this one, and this one happened. And then right now, I want 77 people who will give 1 million each, because by next week, there's a special miracle that is coming to town. No special miracle is coming more than the money. This is the truth. There's no special miracle coming. Kenny Hagin said, when he has, because as church, a church, we still have to teach on money. I hope you get my point. We still have to, because if you don't, how will people learn? He said, so that it will not make people do things impulsively, provoke them to things that they are not able to hold in their hearts. Ahead of time, if they are supposed to take offerings at the end, before the message starts, he said, today's message is on money. Take the offerings first. Takes his offering, then he teaches on money. Then they share grace and everybody goes home. Then that word transforms your life. You don't just respond impulsively. Let me tell you something, again, as a preacher, be careful that you don't allow people to do what is wrong by responding impulsively. It's not good. When Naaman wanted to give a gift to Elisha, he refused it. I think one of the reasons is that the man was just being impulsive. The man didn't understand the ministry of the prophet. He did not understand what it means to give to the prophet because he's a prophet. He was just so excited because he's been healed. He was willing to do anything. So the man said, cool your temper. Go home. You know, if that man had come back another day and greeted Elisha, say, man of God has a ministry. I brought you this gift from the land of Syria. Elisha would have taken. But that particular day, Elisha, this man is responding impulsively. It's his emotion that is speaking. It is not his love for God. It's nothing. It's just the emotions. So relax. If you're a preacher, learn from that also. Learn from that also. Don't let people do things impulsively. When they do, they are not rooted. They are not blessed. He said, those that sprang up quickly did not have depth of earth. You want to say, okay, today who's going to volunteer for mission? And say, God, I'll be a missionary to the Congo. You are going to put people under judgment. They will all put up their hands. Then when they go home, the wife will say, which Congo? Where are you going? Hey, my husband, when did you become a preacher? He said, me say, I didn't wonder. Now that man. Just teach people, you know, let the word soak into them. Then it brings forth the will of God in their lives by itself over time. But when you just come and say, today, and you talk. And in fact, sometimes, you know, congregation, they are nice sometimes. So they say, 50 people, God told me that 50 people are going to volunteer to be missionaries to Botswana. And the church is only 100 people. And God told you 50 people. So I want those people to stand up right now. Two people stand up. You look them. They continue praying. I know God the way he talks to me. And he spoke to me this morning. There are 50. Now, pastor, go stand up too, because we have to close. If you don't count your 50, before you know what's happening, half of the congregation are standing. Say, yes, I knew the Holy Spirit. No, they just wanted to close. Just by the way, if you're a preacher, when God talks to you, don't harass anybody with what he said. They said, the Lord said to me that 17 people today are going to give 10 million each. Don't say it. It's between you. Just say, who wants to give 10 million? See the usher. Then if they are 17, the Lord spoke to you. If they are zero, the Lord didn't tell you anything. But when you stand and say, the Lord said they are 17. Ah. Then you go count. There are only four standing. All right, we're going to wait till the 17 comes up. Some people, their mind will not start speaking to them. Did the Lord speak to us? Do you have 17? Do you have 10 million? Well, if the Lord spoke to him, maybe we will have. Let us stand though. Just so that you will. It's a simple principle as a preacher. If indeed God spoke to you like that, don't harass anybody with it. Put it in your own soul. Do the work you are supposed to do and walk away. At the end of the day, go and count. If 50 people volunteer to go to Botswana, the Lord spoke to you. If 50 did not speak, did not volunteer, either the Lord did not speak, or they are still volunteering. They will finish the volunteering before the end of next week. That's just the way it is. Please, let me sit on my main message. I'm talking about faithfulness. Faithfulness to what? Faithfulness to what we know is right. I need to preach this to Christians in these days. For example, we have discussed here and there, here again and again, you are going to political office, make up your mind that I'm not going to return from that place having money that was not paid to me as wages. Make up your mind, I will take no gifts, nothing from anybody. Say, what's wrong with gifts? In today's Nigeria, it's bad. Say, I won't take anything. What if it's your birthday? I will announce ahead of time, please don't bring me gifts. My pastor said I should not take. You know, there are easy ways. What about your son's birthday? In Jesus' name, don't bring my son gifts. I can buy for him. He just for 4 years. So if you did not have a house when you are going into government office, that's public, you know, in political office, stay there simply. Say this one, Lord, for 4 years, I will not build one. I'm deliberately preaching this to challenge to these Christians. Some of you may know what I'm talking about. The other day, I told my mother-in-law, who's a commissioner in Delta State, I said, my wife is not coming to you for contracts. Get used to it. Not going to start traveling to Asaba because you're a commissioner. How's that my problem? I'm a preacher. You won't see me. Look, if there's something I know people, like I was telling her, I said, this guy is very good with doing this thing because that's what he does. Someone just said, mommy, do you know this man? Oh, he's one of our friends. This is what he does. If you need his services, I recommend him. As for me, call me when you need people to preach in the government house. I will come. I am not. This one that Christian will be rejoicing because your uncle is now a minister. These are the things I'm teaching. Say no! I'm not doing. What if you are broke? Go and get a job. Go and sell something. Sell a charge car. Run inside traffic. Sell gala. You will eat. But start participating in this corruption. Governor comes to your church to do Thanksgiving and the offering is 10 million naira. You, the pastor, you are also a thief. What do I recommend if you're a pastor? The governor is coming. Say, sir, excuse me, sir. We have a simple rule here. You know how many of you know Alex Oti? If you're from Abia, you should know Alex Oti. Alex Oti gathered all his men, came to the church before election, Thanksgiving, or something. Gubernatorial aspirant. The frontline one. Let's rule out rigging and all of that. Frontline. He came. And they said, before they left, say, pastor, pray for us. From the pulpit, he said, are you sure you want me to pray for you? And they said, yes. He said, are you sure? He told the man, if you want me to pray, I will pray. I will pray for you that if you have the interest of the state at heart and righteousness, you will get there. That God will, the man didn't take any special offering. Told them the truth. But if you don't have these things, forget it. God will not support you. You will not get there. That's what they call respect. See the man tomorrow, you respect him anytime. I don't want your offering. I'm not doing it because, Lesotho is around, so everybody will not care for offering. No. We can't stop you from giving offering that day. Just no matter that passes, but give you microphone. So how much are you giving us? That is why they steal. The only people that can give them direction, the Bible calls the church the foundation and the pillar of truth. Why the one that got and be, you know, governor is around, how much are you giving us for this project? You are the one begging him to steal. Where is the constitutional allowance for giving to your church? Some things that may even be right. Simply because, listen, we have a crisis in our nation. It is the church that will take a lead. If you're a pastor, I give you instruction. Tell all your members, you will swear before me. We will share communion, pour anointing on you. That you are going into political office, you must not come out of there rich. Are you ready? If you are not ready, don't go. If you go, God will judge you. We say it ahead of time. Are you ready? So they've appointed a minister here, and you're a member of the church. Come, sit down. Say after me. In Jesus' name, I will not. Listen, God commanded Israel. He said, your kings must never multiply horses. They must never multiply land. They must never multiply wives. They must never multiply anything. What are they supposed to multiply? The knowledge of God. He said, give them a scroll. They will use their own hands to copy the law. Then they start reading it. Let pastors tell their church members, Buhari cannot change the country. Let me tell you. It is you and I that can change the country. APC is not any agent of change. They are a coalition of all kinds of people that came with one purpose in mind, kick out the PDP. They have succeeded. Now they say, what is the way forward? What do we do next? Everybody is now confused. They are looking for leadership from the president who is trying to stop bombing. The man says, okay, you go and set National Assembly. You saw the scattering. Don't be angry with them. You know why you shouldn't be angry? Because they were never a party. A lot of them were from PDP. In fact, the only man, like somebody said, one prominent man amongst them that has consistently been in opposition apart from the president is the chairman of APC. In opposition. All the rest of them have been in and out. Today they are in CPC, tomorrow they are in ADC, tomorrow they are in ABC, tomorrow they are in SYZ. They've just been everywhere. So if you are waiting for them to change anything, around nonsense, they can't change anything. The structure is not engineered for changing anything. My own prayer is that, look, it's wisdom. One Monday morning, I called my mother and I'm like, Amigo, good morning. I said, as you go to work today, God will give you wisdom. She shouted, amen. He said, that's what I need. I said, you will be in office and God will give you a good name. That is. And she said something to me. I was so impressed. Well, not really impressed, I knew. He said, thank God. He said, Banky, thank God I'm not hungry. I'm not going there because I'm hungry. Let me see what I can do to help my state. I pray Christians have this attitude. Listen, we do this. Nigeria is changing rapid. You know what I mean? Fast like this. We don't need everybody, just we Christians. We are the foundation and the pillar of truth. We are the foundation and the pillar of truth. We're talking about faithfulness. Faithful to what is what I'm talking about? Faithful to what? Faithful to the truth we have been taught. Faithful to the truth that we have known in the face of temptations. Listen, let me tell you something. This is what you need prayer for. Prayer. This is what we need. Forget all this one waking up at night and firing your enemies. What are you waiting for? Die by fire. Die by fire. I will say that clearly. That is errant nonsense praying. Rubbish praying. Gathering to pray that all your enemies, those who ate your placenta and digested your own black accord. Nonsense praying. I don't need to be nice. I will say it the way it is. It's nonsense prayer. All the altars that are raised against you, you will now raise your own altars to counter those altars. Something is wrong with your head. You raise altars. I keep on saying, when Balak and Balaam were raising altars, what was Israel doing? They were camped. They were relaxing. They were roasting their food in the evening. They were cooking manna. Just live your righteous life, worship God all the time, serve Him in every way you can, and don't worry about those who are raising altars against you. The altar in your life is make yourself a living sacrifice, living according to purpose, living according to the principles of righteousness at all times. That's all you need. Forget all this rubbish prayer about don't want enemies raising altar against you. What do you use prayer for? That's what I'm talking about. You use prayer to start. Listen. I had a story of one man the other day. I think they gave him either $5 million or so in cash, or $50 million. I can't remember, one huge amount of money. Minister in the previous administration. He called the man who brought the money. What's this money for? He told the man, because this was a foreign investor. They are from another country. What's the money for? He was so angry. Take your money and get out of my office. That one said, what is going on? That you are the first person who has sat on this table that did not take. I like what David Paulson said, I quoted him last time, that he said that God is not looking for a working people, looking for a church that gives, in quotes now, looking for a church that prays, looking for a church that does evangelism. He said that's not the primary thing God is looking for. What God is looking for in this nation, more than anything else, is a holy people who are pure and blameless. And who can prove that you can live in this world a clean, upright, and decent life? I'm not saying there won't be temptations. If you have been poor your life, when they give you $1 million, your head will go boom. $1 million is a lot of money. It's a lot of money. 10 million is even more. Yeah. And some of these wicked people, when they want to bribe you, James Onanefebori handed $15 million in cash. Handed it in cash to Nuribadu. There are men in this country then when they want to bribe judges. Want to bribe a magistrate, you can be given 50,000. 100,000. When you want to bribe a justice of the Supreme Court, these guys will give them 500 million naira in cash to think about it. Well, no, we are speaking in the open now, so I can't say some things. The Bible says a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise. When he wants to give you money, it's 500 million naira. They wheel the bag into your office and show it to you. I was not the one. He said, I mean, the burden of proof is on the accuser. Don't worry. All I need to say is that we are not sure. Now go to church, give church 50 million. Pastor will say, my God, breakthrough. All of you will perish. I'm telling you. But what am I teaching? This is my own preaching. The called, the chosen, and the faithful. Faithful to what? That's like talking about prayer. That's what you need prayer for. What do you need prayer for? To look in the midst of your hunger, to look at $5 million in cash and say, no, forget it. Let me tell you ahead of time. What they are baiting for, if people think it's about honesty or dishonesty, no, these are spiritual conflicts. These are spiritual conflicts. I told the story of one man that EFC went to report arrest. A governor, former governor in somewhere in Nigeria. He told the EFCC man to come back tomorrow. For 24 hours, he gave him cash there, $3 million. Just go back and say I was not at home. Let me warn you, Christians, ahead of time. It's not about that money. If you take that money, your destiny is gone. Your children will smoke Indian hemp. I'm telling you, that money is cursed. These are cursed things we are dealing with. I want you to start looking at life like that. These are accursed things. These things have the curse upon them. There is a spiritual problem tied to that curse. I pray that God will open your eyes so that when you see such things, what you just be seeing is the demons inside. No, men don't understand. These are things that come into your home. And the peace that was there will go through the back door. Suddenly you are shouting at your children all the time. They are so unruly. You and your wife fight all the time. It was the day they gave you that money and you collected. Satan is not a fool. Anytime he pays, he's getting something more valuable than he paid for. He's not a fool. Once in a while, I think about this and I say, if somebody does that to me, I will start telling him ahead of time what I'm about to lose. If the fellow can't understand, turn into a matter of hellfire. He say, you want to give me $1 million? Go punish you. He say, why? You want me to go to hellfire? Speak some strange tongues, even if Holy Spirit is not inspiring you. Tell the man, what are you waiting for? Die by fire! When you do like that, people will leave you alone fast, though. Is that commissioner they crazy? So? I'm telling you. Listen, what I'm trying to say to the church of God, listen, these things are not money. They are spiritual things. I want you to understand it. What we have in this generation is a fight for righteousness. When I say fight, I mean fight, spiritual war. God is raising a serious call. raising an army, who is going to be a governor? He will walk out of government house after 4 or 8 years, and he will not have bought half of the land in the town. Who is it that will be a governor? Who will declare his assets? And especially when he's a believer, and he says that since in this country, government takes care of everything while I'm in office, I promise even the money they pay me, I will give it to the poor. It is not as if it's so crucial, that is, it's not as if retaining your money is unrighteous, but you just want to make a statement. God is looking for people he can put up there as light that other people will look up to and say, let us be like that man. God is looking for those who will create a new culture for young people to look up to. Not that they are intimidated by the size of cars, houses. No, that what intimidates them is purity and righteousness. And that when they hear a man being talked about, they say, ah, I want to be like that man. I want to beat my chest and say, they gave me $5 million I did not take. To God be the glory. I want to rejoice that when Satan said, turn your stones to bread, I refused. Like I keep on saying, God gives you power. He gives you authority. You make up your mind. Am I yielding it to the beast or am I yielding it to the Lord? Many people turn their stones to bread every day. Pastors especially. This money thing that we pastors do is nothing but turning stones to bread. I like to always drop a word for preachers. The reason being that that is where the main issue is. The reason being that we are the ones that God commissioned to go and lead the people of God into the promised land of truth, into the promised land of righteousness. Pastor, please do not turn your stone to bread. What do I mean? See this pulpit? It is powerful. It's very powerful. I heard one story the other day that somebody told my wife, I couldn't believe it. Man of God charging for prayer and they are negotiating. You pay me $1.5 million. Please, sir, we don't have now. I want to take $100,000. What do you mean? Do you know the kind of anointing I'm going to use? When you hear it, you think it's a joke. Everybody, can you do me a favor? Put up your right hand. Touch your neighbor's shoulder. Pull his shirt or her shirt. Just pull them small like this. Put that hand in your pocket. Don't bring anything out. Bring it out again. Put it. Have you seen how I control adults? They didn't ask me any question. That is called power and authority. What I use it for is what God will judge me for. Yes. Can you see all of you putting up hand? You know, assaulting a neighbor. Just because I said so. So God said, Banky, I've given you that power. You know what you're going to do? You are going to make a wicked man look at his wife and say, I love you. Then she will look at the woman and say, I love you. And I'll say it again. And since he cannot disobey me, he has to obey the word of God that I have given him. I refuse to turn my stone. It may not bring me money. That is why many pastors who think that they have the anointing to raise money, I feel sorry for them. The day God will come to answer you, I pray for mercy for you ahead of time because you don't want God to be angry with you. There are people who have anointing to make Christians give. They must exist. They must. Because there's nothing fake except there's a genuine one. But it's not as common as you think. Most of these people you see, they are people who abuse their power. That's what they do. Most of them just abuse the power that God gives to them. And I'm saying to any preacher listening to me, don't. Don't. Say, what if I need money? Pray to God. Say, there is no lack to those who fear him. That's why he had to say that. There is no lack. Just trust God. Trust God. Don't overreach yourself. You get my point? Don't do things the Lord did not send you. That's the problem a lot of times. I thank God for Kingdom World Ministries. The one we have done, we will yet do more. Greater work is starting soon. We will keep on doing greater things. Amen. I'm telling you, God always supplies. You've seen me, many of you know, like Paul would say, you have observed my conduct. Yet God supplies. I told you, we are in Akure now, broadcasting. One brother went and paid for 1 year. He didn't even ask to talk to me. Just saying, I have paid. You guys send the materials. God will supply. One brother said that, let me renew your website for the next 1 year. I said, no, give the money to Mega Channel. I was surprised I went to Mega Channel and handed them £1,000 because they have a London office. God will supply. And like I keep on saying, if he does not supply, he did not, like Bishop Oyedepo said, God didn't send me a microphone. He sent me alone. So I don't need money for, if you can't hear me, better go and arrange yourself, buy a microphone and give it to me. But I will preach. So if he doesn't supply, there's no problem. The one that he has supplied, we use it and derive maximum utility from it. And his grace will still ride upon that one. Because he said, when you are weak, then you are strong. When you are broke, that is when you can really go far. A man that is broke can pray hard. He will prophesy on the word. The angels will carry it and carry it. Say, this word is too powerful. We can't leave it here. But then when people are too rich, sometimes you think because you don't have money, don't worry. God says, don't worry. In the midst of your money, preach. If you ever listen to Man on Assignment, Understanding the New Covenant, Following the Will of God for all those messages, I preached it here. There was no light. There was no fan. Izuchukwu, are you there? He's not around today. You should ask Izuchukwu, ask Joy, ask my brother Deji. Of course, you can ask my wife who will sit down here. We're like two or three gathered in his name. There was no fan. There was no light. We closed at 6, not because we're disciplined, but because it will get dark. This was an empty hall. We did a lot of work here, nice the place up a bit. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. I hope we are getting my point. If you're a preacher, please, please, faithfulness is what we are talking about. We must be faithful to truth. We must be faithful to righteousness. Without it, God can't do anything. Let's bow down our heads. Let's say, Lord, I dedicate myself to truth. Lord, once again, I dedicate myself to righteousness. I will not let any pressure, drag me away from the truth that you have taught me. Not money, not poverty, not even threats to my life. I will be faithful even until death. It's not by your own strength, though. When you talk like this, God pours the spirit into you. And that's that spirit we are tapping into. Say, Lord, I receive that spirit to stand against Nebuchadnezzar's threats. That spirit with which Daniel prayed, even when Darius said you must not. That spirit, that faithful spirit that David had, that even when you gave him Saul, this is Saul, kill him. He said, no. I will not touch the Lord's anointed because that will not leave me guiltless. This was his enemy. Opportunity to kill the man. But faithfulness, faithfulness. Say, Lord, I tap into that spirit, that anointing, that ability. Faithfulness to the word of God. Faithfulness to obey your truth. Let's just rise to our feet. Let's declare the word of God. Just put up your hands, either one or two, whichever way. Just put at least one hand up. Say, in the name of Jesus, I am the salt of the earth. In the name of Jesus, as the Lord has spoken, I am the light of the world. Say, my salt will not be polluted. My light will not become dim. Say, the pressures of life, they will not conform me. I will not be conformed to this world, but I will stand as a pillar of righteousness. Say it again, I will stand as a pillar of righteousness. Against the storms of life, I will stand. against the temptations of Satan, I will stand. I will stand as a light shining bright. Men will see me and discover the righteousness of Christ. Say it again. Men will see me and they will discover the righteousness of Christ. Say, in political office, I will stand as a star. I will stand as a light shining bright. In the business circles, I will stand as a star. As the light of God shining bright. Shining righteousness into the hearts of men. Say, Lord, I dedicate myself again. Here I am. Use me. Use me. Let your change start from me. Begin to give him thanks. Just give him thanks. Give him thanks again. Give him thanks again. Now listen to this quickly. Let me just say this and we share the grace and close. One major thing that the issue is with people that makes them bend is the fear of what shall I eat, what shall I drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed. Let me just say the word of God to you. That's all I can say. David said, there is no lack to those who fear him. He said, the young lions may lack or suffer hunger. He said, but those who seek the Lord will not lack any good thing. Jesus said, don't worry about those things. That God, your heavenly Father, knows that you need those things, and he will supply your needs. Hear the word of God today. Your needs will be supplied in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let me say to you again, there will be no lack in your life in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every good thing that you need, God will send to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
What you need to do is dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Somebody is here this evening, maybe you're about to run to somewhere else you think life is better. There's just one word for you. Dwell here and cultivate faithfulness. That's the word, cultivate. Make it a habit. Practice it till you become very good at it. Till anything you say is like the word of Samuel. People can rely upon it. God said, when you get to that level, watch what I'm about to do in your life. Let's give the Lord thanks again today. Say, Lord, thank you. Just say thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you.